The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So one of the kind of principles of the kind of meditation we do here at IMC is called is that there's no such thing as a distraction. And many people, when they meditate, will sit down to meditate, and they try to focus on the breath, they try to be calm, try to be in the present moment, and they have trouble doing that because the mind starts thinking about something or starts imagining something, or they get pulled away by feelings that they have, or they have strong sensations in their body, their body starts hurting or something. And the common response to that kind of experience is, this is taking me away from the meditation, this is a distraction. If only I wasn't thinking so much, if only I wasn't upset, if only I wasn't, my knee wasn't hurting, then I could meditate. Then I could get calm and focused. But in the approach of meditation we do here is we try not to have that kind of attitude, like, if only this wasn't happening, then I could meditate. Or if I wasn't so distracted. So we say there are no distractions. Whatever is happening in meditation that makes it difficult to meditate, that becomes the meditation. That's what we pay attention to, because what we're trying to do in mindfulness meditation is to be mindful of what's happening, not to get rid of anything or make something special happen, but rather be present for what is happening. So I'll give you an analogy. Many years ago, I was teaching a retreat up in the Santa Cruz Mountains, and there was a river. So a kind of a creek that running down next to the meditation center that had very shallow, very pure, clear water. And if you look into the water, you couldn't tell if the water was flowing. And you could look like the water was standing still. But if you took a stick, and you took the stick and you put it into the vertically into the water, a little wake would be formed, a little wave would be formed on the edge of the stick because of the current in the water. And therefore, you could see, in fact, the water was moving. So when we try to focus on the breath in meditation, one of the it's kind of like putting a stick into the river of your life. It's hard to know the currents of your life. It's hard to really know well what's really going on. You might kind of know what you're thinking about sometimes, but it's hard to know really well what's actually going on, what feelings are operating, what really concerns are operating. But if you have a reference point of the breath, trying to be with the breath, rather than thinking that being distracted is a problem, what the trying to be with the breath does, it highlights how busy the mind is. It highlights that you have all these concerns and issues that are happening that now you can notice more fully. So there's a big difference between being lost in your thoughts, being caught up and preoccupied and hardly know what you're thinking or what you're feeling, or being caught by what you're feeling, versus clearly seeing and knowing what you're thinking and clearly knowing what you're feeling, what you're about, what your concerns are. And so by trying to be with the breath, if you can be with your breath and stay with many breaths in a row and get calm, that's great. Congratulations. If you can't be with your breath, that's not a mistake. If you can't be with the breath, the attempt to be with the breath helps you to see what is going on for you in a way that you can't see very well if you don't have that reference point. Make some sense? So what are some of the things that you might see that might make it difficult for you to be present? Some of the things that are in our tradition, we name five things that are common activities of the mind that make it hard to stay in the present moment. They're things that are said to be, that hinder our ability to be present in some high quality way. So they're called the hindrances. So these hindrances are not considered distractions. They are just something that hinders being in the present moment. And the idea is to stop letting them hinder us by turning the attention and seeing them directly. And if you see them directly, with such directness that that you're no longer caught in the grip of them. So here are the five. The first one is desire. Wanting something. Wanting anything at all. But the mind gets caught up in its desires and its fantasies of desires. Something has to happen. I want something to happen. And the mind gets pulled into fantasies and thoughts about what it wants. The other is aversion or ill will, really disliking something. And it's easy for the mind to get caught up in thoughts and feelings of dislike and really what we don't like, and that's the hook that pulls in the mind. Generally, when people have strong desire and strong aversion, it's about something. So there's something we don't like or something we do like. There's a person that we like. We might lust after the person. We have strong desire for the person. Or we dislike someone. We have a really intense dislike for that person. Or a thing or an experience that goes on. So what we do when we try to be mindful of strong desire and strong aversion is we train our mind to stop focusing on the thing that we want or things we don't want and turn the attention around 180 degrees to notice what it feels like to have that desire or have that aversion. So maybe for those of you from Menlo School, I trust that some of you have had really strong desire once or twice in your life, maybe far long ago. But what does it feel like inside of you, in your body, in your mind, in your heart, in your feelings, to be really caught up in wanting something really, really badly? Do you have any? What is it like? No desires? Or you've never paid attention to that? It's okay. So it can be stressful to be really caught up in desires. What else? Yes?
It can be crippling because if you're fixated on something so much so and you know that it's unattainable, it can stop you from even achieving that goal or progressing, and it kind of, it's depressing and crippling.
Yeah. Depressing, gripping, freezing, good. Crippling, good. What else? Yes? So you can have strong desire, but sometimes it's so pleasant to have the desire, blissful. Even if you don't get it, just wanting it, right? Yeah, sometimes it can be that. And that's sometimes the hook that keeps us wanting to have these desires because it feels so good to have them. Anything else? So what we do for mindfulness meditation then, we turn our attention away from the object, the thing that we want, and notice in the immediate present what it feels like in our body and our mind to be wanting. So if I want this bell, instead of holding on to the bell, for example, I could hold on to the bell because I want it, focusing on the bell, or I could turn my attention to what it feels like to be holding the bell. And then I notice that my grip, it really hurts. But if I'm only focusing on the bell, I won't notice how painful it is to grip the bell. So when we meditate, you don't have to not have desires, but the idea is to turn around completely and be very honest and direct and say, now I'm having this strong desire, and that's what's making me hard for me to be present. But the trick is, trick is that when you really see that desire is happening in the present moment, then you're present. And then what most people find is that they can really turn around, do that turning around and look desire right in the eye, what it feels like, chances are they're not so caught in the desire. There's a little more freedom from it. So the same thing with aversion. If you really have strong dislike of something, it's usually an object, something you want. And then rather than staying kind of repeating the story, repeating the ideas, and focusing on what you don't like, which is stressful and crippling and things like that, is to turn the attention around 180 degrees and feel like what it's like to have in the body and the mind and your heart to have this strong dislike happening, and then just breathe with that, feel that, and then learn to be free of it, but by seeing it clearly. So those are two of the five hindrances. The other is resistance and lethargy, not just regular old being tired, but the kind of lethargy where, like, you can, you know, just it's so boring you can't stand it, or you just kind of resist the situation, like, I don't want to deal with this, it's too much. And like when my mom, when I was like 10 years old, my mom would take me to department store to buy clothes, and I hated it. And I would get so tired in this department store. So, you know, I'd like hardly keep myself from falling on the floor. I was so tired. But when we'd leave the department store, my mom would say, "Should we get some ice cream?" And boy, was I awake! I had all the energy in the world. You know, the lethargy and the, you know, it was really a resistance and, like, you know, a policy, a strategy of, like, I don't want to be here. So sometimes that's what makes it difficult to meditate, is there's a strategy of lethargy and resistance. The other is there can be a lot of restlessness and a lot of regret that that makes it hard to be present. So this current of your river that really makes it hard to be present is the forces of restlessness and regret. In the same way as with desire and aversion, with this lethargy and this resistance and regret, we turn the attention around and really be present in the present moment in our body for what it feels like to do this, to be this way, and breathe, just breathe with it. The last so-called hindrance, the thing that makes it really hard to be present for people, is to have doubt, and to be caught in the grip of doubt about oneself, doubt about what we're doing, doubt about meditation, if you're doing meditation, doubt about the value of being present for whatever you're doing, is one of the very powerful forces to some people that keeps some people from being present. So the same thing there, we turn attention around and really look doubt right in the eye to really feel and see what that's like. So in this way, the idea is not to be, not to take anything as a problem in meditation, but take it as something new to meditate with, to be mindful of, to turn towards and really see, with a hope that when you turn towards something and really see it clearly for what it is, you are beginning to discover how the act of seeing, the act of clearly knowing, is a place to be free, a place to be peaceful. So, I hope that made some sense. So what I'd like to suggest is that those of you who are not in high school go with Siri and Nena out in the outer hall and figure out in a moment. If I figure out the, you know, the cleaning things you can do, and maybe one person can volunteer to put away the chairs in that conference room and also the vacuum that floor. Maybe, okay, Eileen. And then the rest of you can do what you do except in here. And for those of you from Menlo School, if you want to come up here again, and we can spend our last 15 minutes together if you want to discuss any of this anymore while the other people do the cleaning. Okay?